I like Covey's little summary here. If I were to summarize in one sentence the single most important principle I have learned in the field of interpersonal relations, it would be this: seek first to understand, then to be understood. This principle is the key to effective interpersonal communications. I looked on down in the thing. I said, boy, he's right on. Understanding. I said, you know, if you don't understand what's being said, anything that you're likely to say is probably not going to be understood either, because you don't even know whether your response is germane to what the issues are. I have the being hard of hearing. I have that problem all the time. I quite often answer questions that weren't asked, but so I have to, which results in very obvious miscommunication there. So we're able to fix it by me saying, I'm sorry. I do this to Grace all the time, and don't hear a word properly. So in a way, that's sort of a help to me, because it forces me to go back and know what was said, to ask for it to be repeated. Of course, some people think if you ask three times, you've stepped over a boundary. But I will do it if I have to understand. And so we may start the conversation off with just a little bit of irritation, but we usually resolve it. So, of course, Grace says the real solution to the background problem is for you to get some new hearing aids. She may be right. As we look on down to the, those are, just a mundane example of how not why you might not be understanding something. You just may not have heard the right word. I'm not going to read everything in the introductory thing, but and I'm sure everybody's already read it several times as you've studied and meditated. but just in case, I'm going to read a couple of key things here. We tend to encounter what we expect, hold back from what we fear, and prejudge new people by our experience of similar people we've met in the past. Now that there's so much packed in that little sentence there, and I just want to blow it up for just a second. I've heard it said that if there's poop on your glasses, everything looks like and everything that we look at, we're looking at through the lens of the life we've experienced. And I know sometimes Grace will say to me, she'll say, you're sounding like the poor boy from Georgia. It's probably something minor, of course, that she's talking about, but the response that I've given is clearly something that's stemming from my past method of judging, which for the most part, I don't think very many people that know me today would think that I have a self-image problem. Some people might think it's kind of the opposite problem. But in fact, when I was thinking about this the other night, Apostle Paul, who, as you well know, is not one of my favorite people, but I seem to quote him all the time because he did say some pretty good things. And this one, I'm not sure. Let me throw it out. He's cautioning one of the churches to not think more highly of themselves than they ought to, but to condescend to men of low estate. He's probably talking to a bunch of Gnostics or something, our forefathers, our New Thought forefathers, who had the audacity to say things like we're one with God. But that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about looking down on other people. And he says, condescend a man of low estate. And he says, condescend a man of low estate. Now, that troubles me a great deal, because the frame of mind where I want to be, and I think is the best place to be, is not to think of anyone as being man of low estate. I think it would have been a better thing to say, but we have to think he's talking about in his time, you know, in the time frame in which he's living. And besides, he wasn't paying a lot of attention to the Gnostics, except trying to possibly talk them out of their perversions, you know, thinking they were one with God and that sort of thing. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about our judgments that we make of other people, whatever reason they are. And those judgments happen based on our life's experience. Have you ever met somebody and you just immediately didn't trust them? That's going to happen sometimes, but why? It's because somewhere along the path you've seen someone that looked, sounded, smelled, felt like this person, and so you lay the judgments of your past on this person, who might be a Gnostic. But you don't know. You don't give him the chance. You pass the judgment. I know. I've caught myself doing that. And now, let me just throw out a little aside on that. If you find yourself doing that on 90% of the people you meet, you better get your glasses off and get the cloth out, because there's probably a problem. If you find it happening occasionally, you can say, something in my past is causing this. If you find it happening all the time, trust me, something in your presence is causing it, and you need to deal with it either way. And if it's on the lenses, you've got to wipe it off. So that's kind of what we're going to be talking about today, is looking at some of these things that lay in our past that cause us to make judgments of situations, people, things. It doesn't matter what, and we respond in ways that don't produce good communication. So I think our little exercise that we're going to do will make it clearly. I thought when I was, and I'm not going to jump too far ahead here, but that little exercise that we're going to do uses some rather ordinary responses that I could say, oh yeah, well, I have shared that. I've said that before. And it's kind of reminded me of some of the conflict resolution classes I've had in the past, of identifying triggers that cause us to, you know, do roadblocks to communication. But we're not looking so much at trying to analyze all the triggers as we are to analyze the underlying causes of those triggers in our lives, to look at what are these things in our past. I can give you another good example. Besides, I mean, being a poor boy from Georgia, very well. But one thing that I was always determined, and I knew, even at a very young age, that I wasn't always going to be a poor boy from Georgia. And it made all the difference to know that. Now, I can't really tell you why, but I know it, and I knew it. Now you have to listen carefully to this example. You may have heard it before, but I'm a racist. Now don't jump up and down and flail at me. I was born in Georgia, raised in Georgia. I was raised in a racist environment. I was raised a racist. Now, I'm a racist in recovery, ladies and gentlemen, and I've been in recovery for a lot of years, but recovery never ends. Once you go into recovery, you stay in recovery forever. And then you look back on it, and it doesn't seem like you're in recovery anymore. It seems like this really is you. Well, when I was in the racist environment, I was very much troubled by it. Just naturally troubled because of my own sensitivities, troubled by it. But that did not mean that a lot of it rubbed. And you could have asked me when I was 14 years old, you could have said, are you a racist? And I would have said, no way, I'm not a racist. Well, that's what most racists say when you ask them if they're a racist. Just because they've not taken the, they've not really looked and defined what a racist is and see, well, it really fits you in a lot of ways. And, you know, there are things that even if you think you aren't and you're trying not to be, if you haven't done some sort of analysis of your past and seen what the things were that have influenced your life, you really don't know necessarily what's causing the issue. So you go into recovery and you spend years finding out. And every time you find another little clue, you fix it then. And you know that, you know you've improved. So just another little example of a thing from my past life, not to carry it too far and get too far gone. But the sentence that we read, it says, We realize fears, or fears come into our communications. We evaluate people based on the past and so forth. And in the very next paragraph, he starts, but this need not be the case. And that's so true. It doesn't have to be the case. I mean, I thought, it's a simple little sentence, but it's not like the I think I might have told you about the cartoon that I love so much about the two big old gorillas sitting there and one of them, you know, their banana peelings all over the place, and one of them says, I know it ain't profound or nothing, but you know, Nick, I love bananas. I really love bananas. So it's not profound, but to that gentleman who was sitting there thinking, there was something deifying about his love for bananas and his experience with bananas, and obviously from his ability to consume them, it was true. But a little statement like that, you know, I'm sitting there when I read that, and I thought, you know, it is profound. It's a simple sentence, but it really is profound. This need not be the case. And it's all part of our knowing who we are and the source that we have that solves it. And goes on, as we embrace our authentic selves, recognize and act from our connection with, says here, a higher power. But, you know, I like to say source. I like to say God. Clarify our true values and invite others into our lives to do likewise. We will find inner peace and harmony. So in this session, we explore our relations with others from the standpoint of our historic beliefs, values, and experience. That is, we're going to do a little bit of analysis of our historic beliefs and what causes us to respond in certain ways. You know, I left the music on the whole time. Did anybody notice that? Mm-hmm. I didn't really mean to do that, but it must have supposed to have been that way, I guess. So we're going to start it with another little meditation that they have here in the book, and I would invite you to, if it feels good, close your eyes again. I allow my body to relax and my mind to focus on being here, right now. I take a deep breath, knowing that with this breath I am filled with the spirit of life. Just as my lungs are filled with air, I rejoice in the aliveness that I feel. I acknowledge my relationship with all of life. I release anything which is causing me concern of any kind. and rest in the silence of my oneness with Spirit. I know that I'm unique and wonderful, just the way I am. When you're ready, you can open your eyes and we'll get started.